solo adventure awaits you.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Astrid wants you to travel, but as you probably know, things can happen. Hello, everyone. I'm producer Catherine. On this episode of Solo Travel Talk, we're going to get into things going wrong. Why? So you can prepare and gain the confidence that even frustrating foul-ups can be handled and won't throw off your adventure. Astrid, what is your overall attitude about things getting fouled up when traveling?
Well, you said it. Things are gonna go wrong, basically, is a part of life. And so it really, unfortunately, is also a part of travel. But I kind of adhere to what I call philosophies or things that keep me focused. So when things go wrong, I have a plan of action, or at least I know what type of attitude adjustment I need. So basically, it's two part. First of all, be prepared. And this is great. I mean, you know, you have to kind of think about a lot of different things when you're traveling solo that you wouldn't think about if you were with somebody else. But, you know, you need to have some pre-trip strategies. And then also while you're on your trip, if something goes wrong, what would you do? And just briefly, pre-trip strategies would be making copies of your passport, making copies of your credit cards and your debit card front and back, your visas, your hotel reservation, e-tickets for your flights, anything that you absolutely need to know in terms of information, verification. Because if you lose that, then, you know, you've got a problem. And sometimes it will completely mess up a trip, to tell you the truth, if you don't have the proof of who you are, etc. So that, be prepared. That's one thing. You know, you've got to bring the right kind of purse. You've got to bring, you know, you got to think about protecting your valuables when you're sightseeing, en route. So, you know, you buy a real good crossbody purse that you can wear that is big enough but not too big when you're out and about. One that, you know, somebody who's going to try to steal it or, you know, get it off your shoulder or cut it or whatever, that's really made out of a good fabric, a fabric that also blocks any kind of technology or credit card hacking, stealing your information. Backpacks are the same way. So, you know what you're going to use in terms of how you're going to protect some of your valuables. And also, you know, there are a lot of things that can go wrong, like flights can be delayed, which will cause you to miss your connections, or en route there'll be a bad traffic accident and you miss your flight, or you have an accident while you're traveling, or you get real ill. And one of the things you need to do is don't leave home, especially when you're going out of the country, without travel insurance, because that will protect you in many ways. First of all, it will cover your expenses that happens when something goes wrong. And then secondly, you have a way to get help. Their numbers are different services with a lot of the policies, so it's real good. So be prepared. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is roll with the punches. it's going to happen. And I always think in terms of disasters, they're either catastrophes, they're problems, you know, that are kind of a medium problem, or they're just bumps in the road. So you know, when something happens, you have to decide, can I fix this? Or is this unfixable? And basically, just be calm, use your head, think, and approach it like you would do at home. If you have a flat tire, you know, do you have roadside assistance? If you don't have roadside assistance, you get on your cell phone and you start calling people that you think can help you come fix this flat if you can't do it yourself. ideally, you would want to do it yourself. But the bottom line is you know, try to do things that make sense that can get you some help. Now, there are problems that come out of the blue that are big that you have no control over. And this is something like a natural disaster, earthquake, tsunami, really bad hurricane or tornado, or even political unrest now. So you kind of have to think about that. You have to think about making sure you don't go on a vacation, pleasure vacation, when it's monsoon season or the weather is real bad. That's typically, you shouldn't do that. If you have to, you have to. But so you need to be prepared. But one of the things that, and I always do this when I go out of the country, and it's called the Smart Travelers Enrollment Program. And what you do is you basically enroll your personal information, your contact information, your relatives in the event something would happen to you and this, you know, the State Department would need to contact them, your trip itinerary, where you're going to be staying, just, you know, how they can text you or email you, etc. It is wonderful because it's geared to help American citizens if there is some big catastrophe like that. That's number one. But also, you can use it for if you're in an accident or there's something that bad has happened to you. You can access them, you know, either by email, ask for assistance. Now, with that, and I want y'all, everybody listening, to write this number down and to memorize it. There is an emergency assistance number that you can call that's hooked up to the U.S. State Department if you have an emergency anywhere in the world. This number is 1-202-501-444. I'm going to repeat it again. 1-202-501-4444. Commit that to memory. Because if something really bad happens to you or just a medium problem and you need to get on the phone, you need to have some good advice, call that number and they'll redirect you to various departments or whatever. But this is a great number.
Listeners, if you're driving or something like that while you're getting that number, don't worry. I'll put it in the show notes so you'll get it.
Yeah. You don't have to remember it while you're driving. Okay. And, you know, then there are things like medium problems. It's not really a medium problem. It's a disturbing problem. But it's, you know, unless you really get hurt badly, it's not the end of the world. I mean, you could get your purse snatched or you be robbed or something's taken out of your hotel room or, you know, you unfortunately get mugged or something. And so if you have this number, you can call. And if one of these things happens to you and you want to collect on your insurance, you have to file a police report. Now, if it's just something minor, you have to decide whether you want to go through that hassle. And I do have to share with you that in some countries that maybe are not so friendly to your country, they might not believe you as much, or they might just blow it off, and it's a waste of time.
Huh.
So I just share that with you, you know, if this ever happens to you, just in that case, just let it go. But you still have your documentation that you did file a police report, et cetera. And so that usually will be enough for you to collect on your insurance. So, and then, you know, there's illness. And that happens. I can tell you, when you go to different countries with different types of humidity, different types of plants and allergens,
foods, water.
You'll get a cold or a sick stomach. Your sinuses can go crazy. And let me tell you, I have gone to many a pharmacy all over the world because, unfortunately, I have very bad sinuses. So, you know, I went around the world last year, and I tell you, Lisbon wasn't too bad. That was my first stop, but my next stop was Marrakesh. Oh, after the third day, I mean, I had to go and get something to stop my running nose and my eyes and everything. And I took a city tour on a calèche, on a horse-drawn carriage. It was just delightful. And the gentleman who was the driver, the tour guide, he could see that I was having a hard time with my cold and sinuses. He says, "I am going to stop at a great pharmacy, and we'll get you something that I know will help you." So we stopped, and he took me to a pharmacy, and there was a woman pharmacist. She was just delightful. Well, she gave me something to take, as well as she made me something. She put it in like a little gauze pouch, and it had some real high density eucalyptus chips and some kind of like charcoal in it. And she told me, she said, "Now, you know, rub this together a little bit in this pouch, and then just take a whiff in each nostril, and I promise you that will start the healing of your sinuses." Oh, that was fabulous. Don't hesitate to go to a pharmacy wherever you are, you know, because I have found a lot of very good things that have been given to me for my sinuses that are much better than what I get in the States.
Wow.
So, okay, but bottom line is, no matter what happens, you got to stay positive, you know, because problems are going to come up. Most of them can be solved. And the ones that can't, you just have to let go and, you know, let fate step in. And I have to share with you, I have had a lot of good things that end up happening when things go wrong. Because I didn't get all bent out of shape about it. If I would have gotten real upset, I mean, my nerves would have started, you know, and everything would, the trip would begin to take on a negative type of...
like an unraveling, like things start to...
Yeah, like, yeah.
Domino effect of bad feelings, bad things happening more and more and more.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, that can. If you kind of get start going down that kind of thought pattern. So I always, you know, try to be zippity-doo-dah. For those of you who know Jiminy Cricket.
That's great.
Okay.
So listeners, we've broken this topic into a couple of different sections that we think will be common things that you might run into or might be afraid of. The first one, I have to say it, stop thief. Tourists can be targets. How can solo travelers bounce back from theft?
We all know when somebody takes something from us, it's a horrible feeling. You know, it's just, you just feel really so violated. Why would anybody take something from me? Just ask me. I mean, I probably would give it to you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if you're prepared, a lot of the problems can be corrected. Like, say if you get your purse stolen or your tote, you some kind of way in the airport, you get up and you go to get some coffee, and you think your tote's going to be okay, stay right there. You turn your back to get the coffee, you come back and it's gone. Your passport's in it, your meds are in it, you know, you're just going, "Oh God, how am I going to get on the airplane?" Blah, blah, blah. Well, if you make copies, like I shared at the beginning of the show, of all of your valuable personal information, as well as your credit card, your debit card, the things that you have to have in order to basically, if you had to go home, at least get home without a big hassle. That is the first thing. So, you know, be prepared for that. And then also just don't carry too much cash, or don't wear expensive jewelry that would make somebody want to steal your purse. Because if you have expensive jewelry or you look too moneyed, they'll say, "Oh, well, there's something in that purse." Mm. So, I mean, you know, be prepared. Now, I must say, in my 38 years now of traveling and traveling solo, I've been very lucky. But I'm very careful I've only had three things stolen from me this whole time that I've been traveling. One was a little gold cross that I love very much that I was on a business conference and I had gotten up a little late and I was rushing to get to the first opening remarks or whatever. And I accidentally, because I always take my jewelry off and put it on my nightstand, and I accidentally left that cross on the nightstand and I did not put it in the safety deposit box. And I didn't think about it until I got back in the room, or I can't remember when I realized it was gone. Then I thought, oh no, it's got to be somewhere. I mean, nobody would steal a religious cross. I mean, I really kind of was, it was hard for me to fathom that, but it was gone. And so, you know, things like that happen. But it was really my fault because I overslept. I wasn't prepared. I didn't think, you know, I didn't think to go ahead and put it in the safety deposit box. So it was my fault. Mm-hmm. So I just had to let it go. Thank God it wasn't something that, even though I loved it, that I was going to really be upset about. Okay. Then the second thing that I had stolen, and this was kind of aggravating, and it cost me some money, and I really felt like, you know, why did somebody steal this? Except I understand it was valuable, but everybody has one, and that's an iPhone. I was, unfortunately, in St. Petersburg, Russia, one of my favorite cities in the whole wide world, and I was coming out of a delicatessen, which is, I love this place. I go there every time I go to St. Petersburg. And I was coming out, and it's a very crowded area. It's kind of right by a subway station. It has a little underground walkway that takes you across the street, etc. And I thought to myself, I got to make sure I had my credit card back in its little pouch. So I stopped and was looking in my backpack. Well, I wear a strap that I have my phone on because I take a lot of pictures, etc. And most of the time I put that phone in my pocket too. So it's in the front of my body and I kind of have my hand in there. So I always have my phone safe. Well, for a split second I was looking in my backpack trying to make sure I had my credit card. My phone on the strap went to my backside and less than a second, somebody popped that phone out and stole my iPhone 6 Plus. I was so upset because I'm a blogger and I take pictures. Well, thank God I also brought my camera. So I just took pictures with cameras. But what I had to do, because I was very concerned that, you know, some Russian hacker would take all my information. And, you know, there I go, splattered all over somewhere. So I was lucky because I knew that this was going to happen to me somewhere. Now, I thought it would be me leaving it somewhere, getting distracted or whatever, and just forgetting to put it in my purse or, you know, because if I'm doing too much and I get and I'm a little tired or whatever, I can get absent-minded. So I thought that's why I have this strap. So, you know, I'm less likely to lose it. Well, I have a blogger that works with me who knows everything about my technology, and she's really helped me get up to date with stuff. I immediately called her and told her what happened. Thank God everything's backed up on the cloud. She called AT&T, shut down Cox, everything, you know, all my stuff. And so basically that phone went dead immediately or within like 15 minutes. Mm. So that was upsetting. Now, and another thing, I wasn't able to buy another iPhone there because I was just going to go get another iPhone somewhere. And I could have done it, but everything in Russia is programmed in Russian.
Oh, I see.
And so that would have been a real, you know, so my private guide told me, Astrid, the best thing is just buy another one when you get home. So that was the second thing. Now, the third thing that happened to me, and so the second thing I just had to live with it when I was on the trip, but I could fix it, okay? People will steal. So you have to think And be prepared so you don't let yourself be vulnerable.
And you've said before, don't necessarily bring your most valuable, unless it's necessary for whatever your trip's purposes, is maybe just not bring some of those valuables with you.
No, you really shouldn't bring anything that you would be so upset if something would happen to it or if it gets stolen. Now, technology, you know, in this day and age, everybody travels with it. The least amount you can bring, the better.
Yeah, okay.
And lock it up in your safe when you're not in the room.
Our next section is medical issues. Medical mishaps can vary from the inconvenient to the very serious. How does the solo traveler handle a health-related issue, Astrid?
Okay, here we go again. Be prepared. One of my key, you know, theories, concepts, or how I approach trip disasters. You know, if you take prescriptions, obviously, make sure you keep the meds in your carry-on, or when you're not in your hotel room, you probably should lock it up in the safety deposit box. I know that sounds overkill, but especially when you travel a lot of different places, you know, most of the time when you're in a real good hotel, that won't happen. But you never can tell, because those are things people can sell, okay? And it's not as traceable. But have an extra copy that is signed by your doctor with your prescriptions, if that happens. Because then any pharmacy, or you can get the concierge to get a pharmacy to refill it. So be prepared that that could happen. Also, take your vitamins. It's important when you're traveling and you go into a lot of different places or whatever, your immune system gets down and you just get more tired because you're basically out of sync. And what I do too, besides taking my vitamins that I normally take at home, about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks before a trip, if it's real long, I'll start taking what's called Emergency, which is a heavy dose of vitamin C. And I also take that when I'm on the trip. And that is really good. I mean, that stuff will keep you from getting your immune system getting weak, and you'll end up with a bad case of the flu. You might have a little case, but it won't be like you got to stay in the bed for 3 days.
Devastating.
Yeah, because you're wiped out. So, you know, make sure you do that. Then also, if you're going to countries where, you know, there's a lot of foodborne kind of bacteria, and, you know, in more of the third world countries. And if you eat street food, you need to get a prescription for Cipro to help you with any kind of stomach ailment. Because when you get the bally belly or whatever they call, I mean, it can just make you want, really, you don't want to live. It's bad.
Oh, wow.
So I do that from time to time. Now, I've been lucky, you know, knock on wood, with the stomach problems too. But I do get that. I have that Cipro, as well as get a prescription for antibiotics, just in case. If you get real sick and you need it, you have it. Mm. So get the prescription. You might want to have it filled and bring it with you, or you can get it filled on the trip. So that's just kind of basic, be prepared. But for the little health issues, when they come up, go to the pharmacy wherever you are. You'd be surprised. I've been to all kinds of different pharmacies all over the world, and they give you the best stuff. And it's typically not anything that I get at home.
Mm.
So, you know, if you're not quite feeling right or you have a real bad runny nose, go to the pharmacy. They'll give you something good. I remember one time when I was in Abu Dhabi, I was struggling with the sinuses again, and I told another lady pharmacist, I told her, I don't know, I just like I feel like I might be getting the flu or whatever. She says, oh, I'm going to give you something that is just great. She gave me this pack of 10 vials of liquid, of Royal Bee liquid jelly. And she said, you drink one of these a day and you will feel like a new woman. So, and she told me, she said, when you get home, you need to take this all the time. She said, this is so good for your health in terms of preventing disease, just strengthening your immune system, just for your cells, everything. So I did what she said, and it did. It helped. So go to the pharmacy if you feel like you need it. Then minor injuries. I mean, these can happen from blisters on your feet. I mean, let me tell you something. That is one of the key things that happens to everybody. So, you know, either bring some Band-Aids or, you know, go to the concierge, ask them if there are any Band-Aids in the, you know, because they typically, in good hotels, they'll either have a physician on staff or they have somebody on call, they'll come, and you can get anything. That's what I usually do. If I have any minor problems or even a kind of a bigger problem that I don't really have to go to a clinic or somewhere, I'll just ask the concierge if there's a doctor, and they'll come and help you. I unfortunately have bad feet, so you know, I have suffered a lot with blisters. Even when I buy real good shoes, it just, my feet for some reason kind of
rebel,
you know, flatten all over the place and start rubbing where they don't rub at home and everything. It swell a little bit, but so I'm always putting Band-Aids and stuff like that on. And I have narrow ankles, so I twist my ankles a lot. And now when I travel, I always bring a little ankle sock, a real hard ankle sock that holds my ankle or keeps the swelling down when I twist it. Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, if you're prone to that, do it. That leads me to one of the biggest things that ever happened to me in terms of a medical thing. And I haven't really had issues like that because I'm real scared to get sick when I'm traveling, or I don't want to have a medical issue because, then your trip is severely impacted. But this what happened to me when I was in China, and I took a trip all through China for 5 weeks. And I was in Beijing in a very, very nice hotel. And I was getting ready to take my evening shower. And for some reason, I decided I wanted to put my flip-flops on in the shower. Now, I never do that, but I don't know what was making it. It wasn't because it was unclean or anything. But maybe I thought I had some, I don't know what. Just something made me put it on. So I open the shower door, turn it on, get ready to step in there. I mean, I slip on that shower in a nanosecond. And I fall on that marble floor and the step up into the shower and almost knock myself out on the toilet. I mean, it was so bad. And on top of that, I twisted my ankle. Oh, God, I thought, man, have I broken my shoulder? I mean, is my ankle completely torn up that, you know, I'm going to be maimed? It was so scary. Scary in a split second. So I kind of got my wits together and probably like a Dumbo, I decided, well, okay, that has happened to me. I'm just going to sit in this shower and let the water go over me because I'm going to finish my shower. I don't want to not have a shower. So then I get out and I'm very careful. I dry off and I hop to my suitcase, get my ankle brace because I know this ankle is badly sprained or something serious. So I go, and it doesn't hurt that much, but I knew from what happened that it was not good. So get to the bed. I put the sock over it, and I mean, it is painful to get it on, but I got it on. So I get in the bed, and I tell myself, don't worry about it. You'll deal with it tomorrow. If it's real bad, you'll just have to deal with it. I always say my prayers at night. I said my prayers, and I said, okay, I'm not going to worry about this. If it gets too painful in the night, I'll just have to call the doctor or the hotel front desk to get a doctor to come get me, and we'll go deal with it then. So the next morning, I wake up, and I think, well, I'm going to step on it, see if I can step on it. I stepped on it. Wasn't too bad. I thought, oh, maybe I can walk. So To make this long story short, I just got real lucky. But I had the brace. It obviously wasn't as bad, even though the fall was dramatic. It bothered me for about 3 or 4 days, but after that, it healed itself up. And I think I've twisted my ankle so many times, they know the gig. It hurts for a couple of days, and then we just, you know, she's just got these floppy ankles. It keeps going. But so be prepared. I mean, you know, if you tend to twist your ankle or you say you have respiratory problems, you make sure you have your inhalers or whatever you do when something that kind of is a little bit of a weakness in your health or whatever, that you can deal with it. So, but that, you know, that worked out. Now, let's talk about a big health issue, a big problem. And that can happen. You can be in a car accident. Yeah. You know, you can be hit by a car. Anything can happen. Or you can really get sick. You know, you have a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. Before you leave, you have to notify your health care provider, your insurance, medical insurance provider, and let them know you're going to be out of the country. Ask them exactly what would be covered and know what your insurance will cover and what not, okay? That's first, because there's some countries, like Mexico, they don't accept a lot of the American companies, and maybe none of them. But what you have to do and what they like you to do is to buy a certain kind of travel insurance that has the policies that they accept to cover any kind of medical cost, okay? So know what your health policy will cover and what it won't cover, and then get travel insurance. And travel insurance is a must when you travel, because all these disasters, if you have travel insurance, you're not going to be out of the money most of the time. The claim will be paid for. And then, you know, if you don't have enough money there or whatever, they know that the service is going to be paid for. So that's very important. Then also what I always do is before I leave, I look up on Google or the State Department, the Department for Disease, International Disease and Control, one of them, they will list all the immunizations you need and where the American hospitals are or the English-speaking hospitals are, wherever you go. I always write down a name or two of a hospital that is either an American hospital or it's an English-speaking hospital that's affiliated with, you know, American doctors or whatever. So I know that if I would have to say I need to go to the hospital, what hospital that I want to be taken to, just not let them take me to
wherever.
Yeah, seriously. So that's really important. Then going back to the U.S. State Department and the STEP program, the Smart Travelers Enrollment Program. Enroll in that, because if you have a medical emergency, you can get somebody that will help you in that country through the State Department connections to help you work through whatever you need, whether if you have to have an operation and you know, you need some help in determining whether you should do it or not. And a lot of different things can come up that, I mean, when it happens quick. So you're going to need somebody to talk to that'll help you. That will help you if you're enrolled. And remember that emergency assistance number, 1-202-501-4444. Call that number or have somebody call it if you really can't do it. But you'll get some help that way. Sometimes, I mean, it could have happened to you at home. That's what I always think. I just think, well, it could have easily happened at home.
Our last section is about transportation, getting around. Travel often involves a ton of paperwork, passports, visas, tickets of various sorts. With all the red tape, things have, of course, the potential to go wrong.
Oh, yes. Now, I've already mentioned this a couple of times, but be prepared. Make those copies of all of the important documents, okay? Always know where your important documents are. Like I said, carry on, backpack, in your safe, and also where those copies of everything are. And don't put the copies in the same place that you have the original documents, okay? Usually your suitcase has a liner that has a zipper, and I will put those documents between the hard side of the suitcase in the zipper. So if anybody rummages around in there, they're not going to see those documents right there. So that's just one little tip. It's not a fail safe. You know, if your suitcase gets stolen, I don't know. But make sure you have those copies. And ideally, you have them in that extra carry-on that's in the overhead bin.
Do you leave a copy with those with a friend or family back at home, or do you put them in the cloud or any other safeguards for somebody else being able to access that information?
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't put them in the cloud, but I definitely leave a copy of everything with my husband. I mean, he is so wonderful. He doesn't mind when I travel solo. But his worst fear is that he doesn't know where I am or if he needed to call me or whatever. I mean, he has to have all that. And of course I do that, you know, that's common sense.
Okay. So, well, sorry.
No, but that's true. But if you don't have, if you're not married or whatever, you need to leave it with a friend, or you need to leave it with your parents, or you need to leave it with your neighbor. You need to leave that information with somebody that if they need to contact you or they need to get in touch with you, they know how to do it. Okay. A big disaster. This is the biggest disaster I've ever had in 38 years. And this is a combination. Well, this just is an out of the blue. And a lot of these disasters really are out of the blue. These are things that you're not prepared for, you know. And those are the ones typically that, oh my God, they are like the big one. Well, I had the big one last year, and this was in conjunction, or last year I released my blog and my website right around my birthday, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor. I was so excited about it. You know, I had done branding and a lot of research, and I just thought that, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to share my affordable luxury ideas with solo travelers. And I was just, you know, I was real proud of where I had gotten everything to that point. So as part of the launch of the website and the blog, I did a trip around the world solo for 50 days. If you want to read about it, you can go to the website, astridtravel.com, and read about it. Well, I was going to 7 different places I'd never been before. I had Lisbon, Marrakesh, Cairo with a cruise down the Nile, Mumbai, Abu Dhabi, Bangkok, and Hanoi. Those were the stops. Well, everything went great until the morning that I was to leave. I was leaving Abu Dhabi, flying to Mumbai. And I was so excited because I was either going Etihad or Emirates. I think it was Emirates. And I'd never flown Emirates business class. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be so nice. I got there early because the flight left at about 7:30 in the morning. But I wanted to be in their lounge and, you know, I just wanted to have the whole experience so I could take pictures and write a blog about it and, you know, just really get my money's worth. So I go, and it's very nice. I mean, the areas in the UAE for Etihad and Emirates are just great. I mean, they're so VIP. You go and you don't go into just a regular counter. They take you, sit you down, very VIP, take your travel documents, they take your luggage, and you just, you know, it's it's very nice. Well, so she's going over my ticket and my visa and everything, and she looks at me. She says, I'm sorry, but there's something wrong with this visa. And I said, what? And she said, no. She said, this number, the number isn't right. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And she said, no, it's missing a digit. I can't remember exactly what she said about it, but it wasn't right. And I told her, I said, well, I did everything online with the Indian Embassy. And she said, yeah, but it's just not what you got back in this documentation. It's not, we can't let you on the plane. I couldn't believe my ears. I had never in my 38 years had been denied access anywhere. So she said, but, you know, don't worry. We'll call the Indian Embassy, see if we can work it out for you. You know, this happens from time to time, and, you know, we can get it fixed. So she said she's going to call her contact. Well, she came back in about 20 minutes. She said, look, what you need to do, because they're not open now. She said that they don't open till like 9 or something like that. She said, the best thing for you to do is you go down there. We will put you on the later flight at no problem, no charge, nothing. And you go get this fixed and everything will be fine. So I said, okay, well, I guess this is just something that's happened. So I get in a cab and I tell the sweet young driver, I said, okay, we have to go to this area, you know, where the Indian Embassy is. So we finally find it. I get out of the car. I mean, there's a lot of fortification around. I thought, oh, gosh, I wonder why it's so like this. But it just was. So I get in there, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, all my bags are in that car. You know, he could ride off with it. But, you know, I was in one of those states like, I got to get this fixed. I cannot not go to Mumbai. I'm going to stay in the Taj Mahal Hotel. I have all these things that are on my to-do list. I mean, you know, and this is just why would they not want me to go there? I want to go and spend money and have fun. This is just a little paperwork problem. So I go and I stand in line and then I get up to the counter and I tell the guy, oh, well, I'm a blogger and I don't know what's wrong with this. And I did it online. And he said, well, yeah, the number is wrong. And I said, what can we do? And he says, well, you're going to have to get it right. And I said, yeah, I know.
Thanks, guy.
Can you fix it? And he says, well, no, we don't do that here. I said, you don't do that here? I mean, I couldn't believe my ears. You know, I won't say on air what I was really thinking. But I'll move forward. And he said, let me tell you what you should do. He said, there is a service that you can go to that they will fix this for you. So, I mean, I looked at him like, come on. You know, all I know is you just go back there and just stamp it. It's yeah. Okay. You know, what kind of fee do I owe you? No, he didn't even think like that. And I was kind of aggravated.
Well, that's kind of, just to interrupt you a little bit, that's kind of what I was wondering is, like, I'm wondering if sometimes in developing world situations, if that's like not a pretense to say there's an additional special fee for you, which is really just, you know, asking for a bribe.
I hate to say that, and I won't go there, but you can think what you want to think. I mean, this is the way I thought about it. I thought, well, if I was a man, and I went in there, and I was dressed in a business suit, this would have been stamped in 5 minutes. I hate to say that. And I'm not sexist or anything like that. And I'm not criticizing anybody.
But you wonder. You mean it's natural to wonder those things.
Yeah, I did. I was aggravated. So I go outside. There's that beautiful cab with all my luggage and that sweet young cab driver. And I must say, the cab drivers in Abu Dhabi are great. So I told him, I said, we have got to go somewhere else. And he said, no problem. And I told him, I said, don't worry about this. You just take care of me and I'll make it worth your while. You don't have to get a whole bunch of other fares and riders and routes. We went to this place, stood in another line for like 45 minutes. This time it was hot in there. So I finally get up to the desk and I explain to the gentleman. He says, oh, yeah, I can help you with this. And I said, oh, good, thank God. Okay, I said, how quick can you do this? I mean, you know, can you just get it done right now? Because I have to be back to the airport. The plane's going to leave. Blah. He said, oh, no, you know, the quickest I can turn this around is 3 days.
Oh.
And I said, 3 days? I said, you know, I'm only supposed to be in Mumbai like 6 days. That's not enough. I said, and he said, yeah, and I can't even guarantee I can get in 3 days. It's probably, I mean, I can guarantee it in a week. And I went, oh, come on. I mean, I was trying not to step over the line and get, you know, aggressive. But, because I really knew that wasn't going to work. Something told me, this is bad. So I kept on and said, you know, there is no way. Can I speak to your manager? He said, it's not going to help. You know, so I said, so I just took a breath and I just decided, well, Astrid, you just, this one is a problem. So I left, I got back in the cab and I told the cab driver, take me back to the airport. So as we were going back to the airport, I was thinking, well, you're just going to have to figure this one out. Get on your computer, figure out what cities going in an easterly direction do not require American citizens to have visas, and pick a city there and bypass Mumbai and go there. So, you know, I just kind of took it on the, you know, took it and got on my computer, went to Kayak and my different sites, Mombondo, Hip Monk. And, you know, first of all, I decided it was Singapore. I don't know. I don't want to say Kuala Lumpur. I can't remember the three cities. But I decided I'm going to go to Singapore. I've never been to Singapore, and I hear so many wonderful things about Singapore. So the ticket was a little bit more than I really wanted to pay, but I had to eat it, okay? So I booked it, and then I also booked a reservation at the Westin Hotel, which turned out to be just fantastic. I mean, this was a brand new Westin right on by the bay. And it was one of the first or newer wellness-oriented Westins. And Westin has a great program with wellness. The beds are like ultra, you know, friendly for sleep. The menus in the restaurants are really geared for wellness. They have all kinds of spa things that they do, from the aromatherapy in the halls when you get in the elevator. I mean, it's really, they really want you to relax, be refreshed, so you can enjoy what you're there to do. So, to make a long story short, I just took it on the chin and took that long, exhausting flight that I had to spend 6 hours in the Sri Lankan business class lounge, which none of it was bad, okay? It was just such a shock. And here I was, you know, presenting myself as a travel advisor, and I go on this big, you know, trip to announce it, launch it, and this crazy mistake that really was my mistake, but I didn't know it because, you know, I did it online, and I am older, so I'm not as tech savvy as a lot of people, and I probably didn't do something exactly right. It was my fault, but I wouldn't have known it. You know, this was just something that completely hit me out of the blue, but I refused to go home, and I ended up, it did only put me back, I think, about $2,300, something. This is about $2,300 because it was one night at the Taj Mahal. So it was, the whole thing was, no, I don't know exactly how much it was, but it wasn't something that, oh my God, it's going to be horrible, okay? But Singapore turned out to be one of my favorite cities in the whole wide world. This is a the most beautiful utopia for a city. It's so well planned, so green, so lush, lots of different cultures, fabulous food, clean, safe, interesting. I mean, it was just fabulous. So, you know, in the end, probably I wasn't supposed to go to Mumbai. And I was supposed to go to Singapore. And I really think that, you know, in some kind of strange twist of fate, it all worked out the way it was supposed to. That was the biggest disaster I've ever had. But the bottom line is, you know, I could have gotten upset and gone home. But I didn't. That's not my nature. That's not my personality. If I can figure something out, I will move forward.
I like that story because that story demonstrates that you went right to plan B and started just stitching together a plan B right away. You weren't going to let it just throw you off too much. You thought, I'm going east. I'm going to figure it out. Where do I not need a visa? You just started pulling it all together.
Absolutely. Because after that, I still had Bangkok and Hanoi. Yeah. And so I didn't want to spend another week in Abu Dhabi.
Right. So, well, and plus, this will reveal some of my feelings about bureaucracy, but like him telling you a week, there was no guarantee for that. That could have easily stretched into much longer than just, yeah.
They could have lost the paperwork.
Yeah, anything exactly. Could happen. Or, yeah.
You know, and I really didn't have time to go to the American embassy and acting up and like, you know, I was just on a tight time frame. Right. And so I didn't really want to be hassled with all this. I probably could have gotten it figured out after, you know, 2 or 3 days, but then I would have missed really half the trip to Mumbai and it was not worth
going
there.
And at what cost? And I don't mean financial. I mean, like, at what cost for hassle, for all the just drain, you know, turning some of that negative energy into your trip? That none of that sounds appealing.
No. And I did, that wouldn't be a lot of good blog material. Yeah.
That's not the nature of the blog you want to have. Come on. That's great. What about getting stranded without a place to stay?
Okay, well, this really, you know, this doesn't happen that much anymore. And it hadn't really happened to me, maybe just a couple of times. And, you know, if you miss a flight or something happens with a flight delay, I mean, they're now at almost all your huge airports. There's so many hotels around there because they're built for that kind of stuff. So you can always get a hotel there. But if something happens with your arrangements, you don't book the right nights or you put in the wrong dates. And let me tell you, that can happen. If you're on the computer and you're saying, oh, well, I think I want to go on the 5th, and then it looks like the 6th is a better deal, and then you come back to it, no, and you think maybe I'll go the 10th or the, you know, the dates. And then you're doing flights and you're arriving at another day and all that, you can book the wrong day.
They can all start blurring together so easy.
It's easy. Or something might go with the computer that it just, you know, it's the artificial intelligence thinks you mean the 6th instead of the 5th or
Did
whatever.
Did you mean the 6th?
And you don't catch it. Yeah. Well, you get there and they say, oh, well, you're not supposed to check it till tomorrow. And they'll say, oh, and if they're booked up, they'll say, well, I'm sorry, we're booked up. We can't take you. That's a bummer. Well, don't worry. With technology now, you can either get your laptop out, like I said, and get on your sites, or they have a great app now called Hotel Tonight. And this is, you know, just like Zomato with where you want to eat that's close by. All the hotels, and you can see what the prices are, where it is from where you are, the whole thing, and you can book it right there.
We have to do a show on apps. We really do. We got to get to that.
Yeah, we do, especially since I'm not real good at it, and it'll make me learn more. I mean, I use them. Trust me, I use them. Now, I'm not, you know, in my 20s or early 30s, and in most people that age, they're just so tech savvy that, you know, they use it constantly in their daily life, whether it's delivering their groceries to anything. Yeah. I'm not like that. I usually use them when there's an emergency.
When you need a hotel tonight.
Yeah. Or I want to know, I'm in an area and I don't have a particular restaurant where I want to go. Okay, but the one disaster that when I didn't have a room and I didn't have an option really for getting a room, that ended up turning out okay. Well, really quite sweet. Happened to me, it's maybe 20 years ago. I was taking the overnight train from Barcelona to Paris. And I had booked a first-class private sleeper cabin. And so I went to down the track, showed the conductor, and he looked at me. He said, no, no, no. And I said, is it this way? He said, no, it's that, 2B or 2B. And I said, 2B? No, I think you mean 2A, you know, because that's the A was. Yeah. He said, no, your ticket says 2B. And I went, well, okay, I guess 2B, I'm sure they'll have first-class sleepers in there, too. I mean, I haven't traveled a lot with European trains in the last 25, 30 years. I did a lot of it when I was young. But so I get on this, and, you know, the train is basically ready to leave, and I don't really have any options. And I'm thinking, 2B is, you know, second class, and 2B is in a cabin with six different bunks, three on top of each other. I can't get all my luggage in there, and I really don't want to sleep with all these people, because I had looked in there and I thought, oh my God, this could go down, this could not be good. Well, and so when I looked at what I thought was my berth, this young Turkish gentleman said, oh, no, that's my ticket. And I said, what? No, 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 look, here's my ticket. He says, no, we have the same ticket. And I said, what? There's no way. He said, yeah, we do. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, what's going on here? You know, how did this happen? I don't really know how it happened, to tell you the truth. And it might have been there was something wrong with my date. I don't know. Okay, because it's been a while since it happened, but I'm focusing on the problem. I didn't have a bed,
yeah.
And I was going to take the all-night train, and I had all this luggage.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Sit on my luggage in the hall all night? Well, that was what I was thinking to do. And that young Turkish gentleman, he just looked at me. He said, ma'am, he said, I'm going to give you my bed. He says, me and my girlfriend, he said, I'll sleep with my girlfriend in the bunk together with her. You sleep there, you'll be fine, and I'll make sure you're fine. And I just said, thank you, Lord. I mean, I knew that that was some kind of special good thing that happened to me. And so I didn't get a good night's sleep, but I wasn't scared, even though it smelled bad in there. But I made it. And I told the Turkish gentleman, I said, let me tell you something. You are so kind. That was so giving of you to do. And I made him write down his name and address. And I told him, I said, when I get home, I'm going to send you the money for this trip, you know, because you gave up your berth and everything like that. So he, you know, and I knew how much he had paid. So when I got home, I sent him some money and just a little extra for that night. But I couldn't solve that problem. The train had already left. It was either the hallway or I didn't have a choice. And those kinds of things, I mean, every now and then something like that will happen. But you see, something good happened because I didn't get all mad.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I didn't panic. And I guess, you know, humans are good. You know, I guess something said, well, that could be my mother in his mind. And he just decided that was the right thing for him to do, that, you know, as a human. And it was great, you know. So, okay, so I'll just wrap this podcast up with the two basic philosophies, again, that I like to adhere to, is first and foremost, be prepared. I mean, before you leave and while you're on your trip, you know, try to reduce the risk of anything happening. And, you know, if it does happen, you're already prepared that something like this could happen, and then you go to plan B, okay? And then if something happens and you're not prepared for it, you have to roll with the punches. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, well, can I fix this or is it not fixable? If you can fix it, I mean, you have to take the time to fix it if it's real important. And if you can't fix it, I mean, you have to let it go, because if you dwell on it or you stay all bent out of shape about it, your trip will begin to kind of take on a whole different perspective. And, you know, if it's too bad or if it is very serious, you know, you need to go home. Going home is always an alternative. So, I mean, it's not like you can't go home. Now, that's last resort in my book. I don't want to go home if I've already planned that I want to do stuff in where I was going. But that is, you know that is also an option, and I haven't mentioned that.
That's kind of like the emergency ripcord you could always pull.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And again, last bit advice, always buy trip insurance before you leave. And, you know, if you're going to any foreign country, buy trip insurance and memorize that emergency assistance number with the State Department. Catherine, do you know what it is?
I do. 1-202-501-4444. How'd I do?
Great. Woo-hoo! Great.
I kind of want to put a little bit of a fine point on this, is that I think that in your concluding remarks there, one of the things that stands out to me is that you have the attitude that I think that our listeners should think about, which is people are going to be able to help you and that things are going to work out. That you seem to have that attitude in a lot of your travel. So when you're facing these problems, that is sort of the overall spirit that you're bringing to this. There is a solution, people will help you get to it, or you're going to figure out the way to a solution.
Yeah, that's really that has been my experience. And maybe some of it is my personality, and here again, my attitude, because I try never to panic. And I do have a little bit of a way about me. When things are real bad, I just seem to get real good. Yeah. It's the little things that I have to worry about that get on my nerves, that, you know, I shouldn't let it aggravate me. And I've, of course, worked to not do that. You know, the older you get, you don't get as upset about, oh, I forgot that I only have one shoe. I've forgotten the other shoe. It's
easier to laugh those kinds of things off and just realize, like, oh, we can fix this. This is easy.
Yes. And again, like I said, I have found people all over the world really are very nice and very humane. But it usually typically starts with you. If you have that kind of inner perspective, I think people really feel it. And if you are nice and you are, you know, respect their culture and you're mannerly, that all works towards helping not things go wrong, and when they do go wrong, being able to work through them.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes when you're traveling, to solve a problem, you just kind of have to throw money at it. Whether it's you're paying for a hotel that you're at top dollar because it wasn't booked in advance or whatever, or you had to pay for a rental car that you weren't expecting because the train didn't have your reservation, something like that. The you just end up throwing money at to solve a problem. But if your money is gone, if that was one of the things that was stolen, that's like a vulnerability that always kind of stands out to me.
Oh yeah. That can really put you in a bad place. And that could happen. So first and foremost, you have to have your debit card that works and you know how to access money. Another thing, I'm very privileged. I have a bank account with JP Morgan, and they're an international bank, so I always feel like that I can go and get access money if for some reason I can't get it out of the ATM or my hotel room, okay? So those are the things that I have in the event that I lose all my cash, all right? And I suggest, you know, if you do travel a lot internationally, to open up a small bank account where you have some money, you reserve some money in there. You know, if you can't, if something went down with the ATM machines or something like that. But let me tell you, if you have good credit, or, you know, your credit cards are there and you're staying at a nice hotel and things go wrong, I've always found, and then you call that emergency assistance number with the State Department, they can get you ways of getting some cash and either, you know, debiting your credit card, or they'll figure something out.
And you were telling me that a lot of the card companies will, like, lickety split, get you a new card to your hotel as fast as they can.
Oh yeah, I mean, that I've had issues where I've left my card somewhere and I couldn't find it. Or I did have one time my card, somebody read it, and the fraud department called me, and I said, no, that's not me. So they stopped it. But overnight, in the toe of Cape Cod, on the top of the highest hill, I got my, I think it was a Visa card or whatever, FedEx to me.
The card companies like us to use the card, so I'm sure they would get it to you as fast as they possibly could.
They have that system down.
That's the one system they have down.
So usually you can work your money problems out. And let me tell you something. None of us like to be taken advantage of or something going wrong and we have to waste money or pay double or whatever. But when it comes down to your safety, don't think about it twice. Do what makes sense safety-wise. And then also, what I found whenever, like, I've blown money by being stupid and I had to pay something else or whatever, somewhere along the trip, I end up saving money. And it kind of balances out. It's funny how that really happens.
Yeah, and maybe having an attitude of that expectancy, like, this is going to work out, this will balance out, nothing is destroyed here, we're going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. And I don't like to, you know, y'all probably get somewhat a little tiresome of some of my philosophies, but I have a lot of them. I do have this philosophy that I try to really adhere to in my life because I think it's extremely wise, is that if you lose something, if it's taken away from you or something bad happens or whatever, if you can not get negative, if you cannot really worry about it, if you can let it go, it's funny. It's miraculous, I think, how by doing that, it either comes back to you or something in its place that is 10 times better happens. I mean, I must say, I totally believe that because it's happened in my life so many times. I can't not believe it. And, so you might want to have that attitude because really and truly, I mean, I've lost, you know, jewelry that I really loved or I misplaced it. And I said, I am not going to worry about it. And within 3 weeks, some kind of way, I either figured out where I hid it or it just reappears. Or something. I mean, it's, you know, I won't go on and on, you know, but it can be from the littlest thing to something that really is a catastrophe in your life. Mm. And if you can get to that point, I mean, of course, you go through the pain of the loss or the pain of what happened. But once you can get through that, just say la vie and really mean it, let it go. I share that with you and share, you know, try it. You'll probably like that philosophy. Oh, it works. It's worked in my life.
Well, that wraps up this show. We hope that you are now even more confident that you can face any disaster, or mini disaster, as we're calling them. You know what? One thing that won't be a disaster for you, dear listeners, is packing. Why? Because Astrid has an amazing packing list. If you go to her website, astridtravel.com, right there, when you get to her website, there's a convenient place that you can get her complimentary packing list. Just download it. It will help you so much with your next packing. You can subscribe to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and really find it any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. If you like what you're hearing, please share it with a friend. We love to hear your feedback. We invite you to rate and review the show. Astrid is always taking Ask Astrid questions, and we love to hear what you are thinking about the information that we're giving out on this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.